So I do a lot of research for my other show called Ninja News Japan. And it takes me down into some interesting legal stuff, usually stuff I've never heard of or stuff that I assume other people don't know. And normally I wouldn't do a Japanese-oriented story on C. McBee, but I wanted to talk about just this, and I don't know how long it's going to be. It could be 5 minutes, could be 10 minutes. But I wanted to talk about it more because it's about how the Japanese police sort of operate quite often in a legal gray zone when compared to other countries. So I talked about a bunch of things about legal issues in Japan. The biggest sticking point for me, which is often held up as being a human rights violation, is arresting people and holding them for an extended period of time, but not actually charging them with anything. So basically they can hold you for 20 some days for every charge you get. So let's say I get drunk, public intoxication, I get belligerent, that's obstruction of business, and I punch a cop. That's assault, and that's another obstruction of business charge because it's obstructing official police duties. So that's four charges. So in Japan, what they could do is hold me on the first charge, public intoxication, for 20 days. And then they release me and go, oh, actually, we're also arresting you for being belligerent, disruption of business. So that's another 20 days. And assaulting a police officer, that's another 20 days. And then the final one, obstruction of official duties. So that's a total of 80 days I've been held by the police, but they haven't actually charged me with anything. They just keep letting me go. The original intent of that system was so that if you were a suspected drug dealer, what the police would do would bring you in and essentially disrupt the... Fuck. My brain just totally went blank. Like delivery lines, but not that. I should start writing scripts. Disrupt the drug trade that you're involved with. So if I'm a buying, if I'm a drug dealer, I won't be able to buy from my supplier, and all the people who buy drugs from me, they're going to have to go somewhere else to buy their drugs. And so that means that aspect of dealing drugs in Japan has been disrupted. And that's what they want. That was the intent of that rule. Of course, now they apply it broadly, and they'll apply it to whoever they want. So basically, you piss them off, the cops just hold you forever. You're going to lose your job. You might lose some aspects of your personal life. You know, a lot of things are disrupted and ruined if you're being held by the police indefinitely and not being charged, so much so that other countries have called it human rights violation. So to me, that's a very gray area that the police in Japan can operate in. Now, Japan is a very safe country. I've never had any trouble with the police. I actually have heard about a lot of other foreign people who do have trouble with the police. They get stopped. They do really minor things that, if it happens too much, yes, it could be harassment, but I think people also tend to overreact to that. Like, they'll check your bicycle license because you have to register your bicycle here, just like you have to register a car. And it keeps bike theft low. I don't know how low it is. I mean, I think there's just as much bike theft. It's just the police have a reason to stop you and check you and check your information. And as a foreign resident, as someone who isn't Japanese living in Japan, but I live here permanently, I have a permanent visa, I have to carry with me a foreign residence card all the time. I could be arrested for just not having that with me. Now, I think I could manage to talk my way out of it now, but even then, if the cop's in a bad mood, off I go to prison where they hold me for 20 days. So I probably lose my job and other things. That's problematic. But then recently, while I was doing research for Ninja News Japan, the number two Japanese news podcast in the world, I might add, I did come across a story. And it was another one that I think kind of fits into this gray zone area, the gray legal zone that Japanese police sometimes operate in. You've probably heard of the 99.5% conviction rate of Japanese courts. And that's because Japanese prosecutors don't bring a case to court unless they are guaranteed to win. So basically, if there's any doubt that they're going to win, they probably just drop the case. You actually, a lot of stories I do on Indie News Japan, if you actually follow up, the case just gets dropped because the case is not airtight. So people make it seem like if you get arrested, it's guaranteed you're going to jail. It's guaranteed you're guilty. That's actually not necessarily the case. If you can hold out, if you can sow any sort of doubt, the prosecution will probably drop the case. So that's something to keep in mind. The horror stories you hear, they tend to be very one-sided. So yes, the statistic they talk about is technically true, but the reality is they're only bringing cases to court when they absolutely know they're going to win. So that 0.5% is actually a big surprise because they thought it was an airtight case that they were 100% going to win. That's the only reason they brought it to court. It makes Japanese court TV dramas a little more dramatic because if you're the defending attorney, it shows how stacked against you the cards must be if you're actually in court arguing a case. That's maybe a separate issue. But I found this story the other day. So the context is there's a guy and he receives a package from overseas. He's been living in Japan a long time. He doesn't really know who sent it. He's just a big box. It's not an Amazon box. It comes from someone. I assume it has a return address, but he reads it. He doesn't really recognize it. Maybe it doesn't have a name on it. So he says, well, this came from the U.S. I'm going to text some of my friends who live in the U.S. and ask them, hey, did this come from you? And then all of his friends from the U.S. text back, no, man, I didn't send you anything. I didn't send you a care package. I don't know what that is. A couple other people send responses. No, I didn't send you anything. I don't know what that is. And then a couple of his friends are like, dude, you got to be really careful. You should not open that box. It's sort of a conspiracy theory. He texts some of his other friends in Japan. He says, does anyone know what happens? I just received a box. It has my address on it. I don't know if it had his name. They didn't actually say if it had his name on it, but it went to his house. What should I do? And they're like, I don't know, man. So they just had this sort of conversation about what he's doing. The conspiracy he's talking about is this is a Chinese guy who lives in Japan. And living in Japan, he has sort of a different level of freedom he can express. So he has been critical of the Communist Party of China. And that is important because this is where the initial conspiracy comes from. They're saying, like, what you've received is a box. Somehow someone from China has sent you this box to get you into trouble for the things you said online. If you open it, you're going to get arrested. And he's like, well, that doesn't make sense. So then after a while, he gives up. It's been maybe a day or two. He hasn't opened this box. He's like, I want to see what's in the box. So he opens the box and it contains a bunch of light fixtures. Well, that's not particularly interesting. So he doesn't like, there's the box of light fixtures, maybe two or three inside. He doesn't pull those out. He pulls the one out and looks at it and goes, light fixtures. I didn't order these. These are clearly a mistake. They're not for me. Probably either just throw them away or maybe I'll use them later. I mean, everyone can use light fixtures every now and then. Shortly after he's opened the box, the police arrive at his apartment and take him into custody for drug trafficking. What has happened here is that initially, let's say at the airport, when the box has been brought in to Japan, one of the drug sniffing dogs has stopped the box and said there are drugs in this box. They open it up. They find the light fixtures. Inside the light fixtures, they find drugs. So they take the drugs out and they look at it. It's a white powder, some sort of stimulant, probably cocaine or something like that. And what they do then is they replace it with a very fine salt that looks like the drugs, pack it all back up, and let it go to its destination. So what they do is let this pretend box of drugs go to its destination, follow it, and then when it's opened, that is part of drug trafficking. That person is now a drug trafficker. They can then immediately arrest the receiver when the box is opened, as they consider that proof that they are part of the sort of conspiracy to smuggle and distribute drugs. It's a system called controlled delivery. Back in 2010, it was used 32 times. But from the next year, 2011 onward, numbers were no longer made public. And I'm assuming because they went up a lot. So police started doing this more and more and more every year. This is a great way to catch drug dealers. You let them receive their drugs and then you arrest them. You can bring them into jail. You can then pressure them to tell you who sent it to you, who are you going to sell it to. We can get the whole network. And I'm sure more often than not, this is successful. But you can see from what I've said, the example being that our foreign resident didn't actually, he wasn't actually part of a drug network. He didn't order this. He didn't get it sent to him. He had no intention of selling drugs to anyone else. He didn't know there were supposed to be drugs in there. The guy from the story obviously pled innocence. He said he didn't know. The charges were dropped because he didn't do anything with the contents of the box. And what really saved him were the messages he had sent before opening the box, asking if anyone he knew had sent him anything. Now, their logic was, this isn't how a drug dealer would behave. A drug dealer would be very enthusiastic to open the box, get the drugs out to make sure they received all the drugs that I assume they paid for. He opened the box, saw some more boxes that had stuff in it that he hadn't ordered or asked for. And certainly he didn't know what they were for, so he just pushed it aside and didn't open those. So that plus the messages made it seem like, yes, maybe he isn't actually a drug dealer, part of a drug ring. It does go back to the conspiracy, though, because the Chinese know about this system. They know if they send a box of drugs to a Chinese person who's critical of the Communist Party of China in Japan, that the controlled delivery may happen and then they'll be arrested. Worst case scenario, this guy just gets some free drugs. I mean, that is actually weirdly the worst case scenario. I guess worst case scenario, he gets the drugs, figures out how to sell them, sells them effectively, and makes a whole bunch of money, or becomes addicted to drugs. I guess that would be the second also worst case scenario. The burden of proof being on the prosecution was the interesting question to me, because how do you prove that someone received a box knowingly? And that's the bit that sort of stuck with me the most. Because I get a box. I open the box. Like if I got a box that was delivered to my house, maybe it's even got my wife's name on it or someone else's name on it, I might just open it to see what's in it. And then the cops bust into my house and they say, well, you are part of a drug ring. You open that box because you knew there were drugs in it. And I say, well, no, I didn't. I was opening it up to see what was in it. You've made an assumption that the reason I opened the box was because I knew drugs were in it, but I was actually opening the box to see what was in it. This is sort of Schrodinger's drug dealing package, because the police are saying I knew and I'm saying I didn't, and both are technically true until I actually do something with the supposed drugs inside. So that is an interesting thing, because this is like, how do you prove someone knew something? How do you prove something, someone received a package on purpose? You can see where it gets very gray very fast. But again, like holding someone for 20 days, the police in Japan do operate in a very gray zone. Even the law I mentioned before, probably my favorite law, obstruction of business, what they've actually done is created a law that's a catch-all for almost anything. So anything that disrupts business is technically illegal. So if you disrupt business, we can now arrest you for whatever that thing is. So if I go into a restaurant and just start screaming my head off, I can be arrested for a disruption of business. If I rob a business, I could be charged with disruption of business and robbery. And of course, they can stack charges on top of that. So it's a case of, how do you prove someone knew the contents of a package if they haven't opened the package yet? And Japan's image is a pretty wonderful place. And I have to say that overall living here, I do think Japan is a pretty wonderful place. It's safe, it's quiet, people tend to be very kind, and you don't have a lot of problems. But is it because the police have this overextending ability to create charges for crimes? Is it this slightly dystopian aspect of Japanese society where the police have a lot of power that they wouldn't have in other countries? In any other country, if you hold someone, you're not going to be able to hold them for a month. If any other country, the burden of proof is on you, and you can't really set someone up this way. You would have to, like, I think in America or some other Western country, for this to stick, the person would have to take the drugs and then go to try to sell them, or maybe take the drugs out and actually, you know, try to test them. They'd have to do something with the drugs in the package for them to actually prove that they knew they were drugs. If I pulled these things out and went, wait, I think this is drugs, and called the police, I think at that moment, I would be innocent in the West. Whereas in Japan, they'd be like, well, you received the package. Therefore, you knew what was in the package. You accepted the package. So clearly you were going to distribute the drugs because that's the next logical step. I don't think any other sort of court system would accept that as a logical argument or a legal argument. But that is Japan. And it makes you really sit here and think about, like, is this the trade-off? So, like, we talk about the freedom and security. Like, how much freedom are you willing to trade off for security? Well, actually, quite a bit. But the police can abuse these systems really, really easily. And I think, to me, the fact that they said from 2011 onward, they no longer made the numbers of controlled delivery public is incredibly suspicious. And I think the story of our Chinese friend here who lives in Japan, I think he was very, very lucky that he made these small steps that actually granted him innocence. Because being a foreigner, you are granted sort of less leniency than you would be in other situations.